Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words mean the world to me, and that's why I love hosting this show for you every single Tuesday evening. I believe in my heart that every single song is a story. Tonight, I'm excited to have Governor Tom. Tom is a singer-songwriter whose indie style blends folk, blues, pop, and jazz with truthiness and wit to create an unapologetic, poignant journey for the heart and the mind.
And now, welcome this week's special guest.
Welcome to the show, Tom. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Sorontos. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. I love your name, Governor Tom. I love the man with the hat kind of thing. It's really cool, man. So I love your branding. It's pretty cool.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's hard. It's hard to make those choices. And, you know, you can choose pretty much anything when you're a creative artist. So, yeah, it's good to land on something that you feel good about.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit. I've seen some of your pictures, but tell the audience that might not know you, what instrument do you play?
I play guitar. I compose on the guitar. I play some piano. I work on arranging on the piano. And I've done a couple of my recordings have me on piano, where it's very simple, where it's very complex, then I use somebody sure. Who can really play the piano.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, man. I'm like the same way. I'm like, oh, yeah, I play the piano. And in Logic, I can play every single instrument known to man. But the truth is, I don't consider myself an instrumentalist where you can, like, you know, rip it on the piano and the guitar. And, you know, there are people that are better than us. And at the heart of it, probably like me, you're a songwriter.
Exactly. Singer-songwriter for sure.
So tell us how you come up with a song. What strikes your muse? How do you start? How do you figure it out?
You know, it's so funny because a lot of the songs I'm working on and recording right now, I wrote a while ago. So the writing, it's usually an idea that just comes to me so strongly that it insists that I give it my full attention. And whether it happens while I'm just playing guitar and stumbling upon a nice chord progression that suddenly feels and sounds really good to me, or whether I'm driving my car, like thinking about something or having a memory or having a thought about something outside of myself that touches me and inspires me. I've completed entire songs, you know, while driving on the freeway just by hitting the record on my cell phone. And I've literally, like, my latest song that I just wrote was just that. I came up with the entire song on the freeway. Then I had to find the chords.
That's awesome. How do you decide when you look at, if you write daily, weekly, how do you then decide, like you said, you wrote these a while ago, is this going to go in my awesome pile, in my trash pile, in my average pile? How do you decide what you're going to work on, what you're going to record?
Good question. I take them out. I go out, I take them out to open mics. I mean, I usually, what I'll do is I'll wait till I have about a half a dozen songs that are in sort of composition stage. And then I will copyright them because the U.S. Copyright Office lets you include as many sort of rough drafts as you want and under one copyright license. So I'll record them all really rough just so then I can take them out and know that, you know, my work is protected. But then I'll go out and I'll play them for audiences and I will see what kind of response I get. And depend, you know, of course, you know, audiences vary, so you get a variety of responses. So I'll do that for a little while. It also kind of helps me. And then I'll just give myself total license to, like, mess up or just, like, feel the song as I go. And that oftentimes, you know, will change the arrangement. It will, like, add a chorus or delete a verse or shift around some lyrics accidentally. And I pay really close attention to those accidents because sometimes those are spot on. And I kind of test everything out that way. And everything that, you know, that is still making people smile and satisfied after listening to it, then I'll move forward and record.
You know, in listening to you, you do something that I think is very tried and true. There's nothing like a live audience to tell you if something's working and to kind of tell you what you might need to tweak. But I'm a little bit jealous because I haven't done live shows in a few years. I'm focusing on studio stuff. And I kind of miss that. I miss being able to get the feel of the audience and decide that, hey, this is really working. I got to take this to the next level. You know, it's a little more blind, or it's a little more like trusting your own ideas. And that might not always be the most correct.
I hear you. I feel exactly what you're talking about. It's a tough feeling to deal with throughout the creative process. So it is a bit of a luxury and an investment to go out and get, you know, some feedback from the live audience. It's definitely worth the investment.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about any famous people you've jammed with, collaborated with, anyone worth mentioning on the show.
Well, you know, I just did a show with a Nashville singer-songwriter that's been doing it his entire life. His name's Dana Cooper, and he's running around touring the country right now. We did a two-man show, which was a lot of fun. But I have not, you know, I haven't made that commitment to really perform. I really haven't done it. I worked, you know, I started as an actor primarily, and then I got in. I was always a screenwriter. I found essentially that I was more interested in being a creative artist than an interpretive one. I mean, although I have equal respect for interpretive artists who take like something that someone else has written and give it their entire creative imagination to, you know, to build upon. For some reason, I just was not fulfilled doing just that. So I started writing scripts and stories and screenplays and stage plays and treatments. And then I picked up the guitar again after many, many years, and all that writing just instantly became songwriting. So I've met a lot of famous actors. I've worked with a lot of famous people in that realm, but as a musician, not yet.
Okay. And is there anyone that you would love to jam with? And you can't answer me, of course. You have to pick someone else. Who would you want to really jam or make a song with?
Oh, I was just thinking, you know, I really love Feist. I love Courtney Barnett. I was just listening to just watched that documentary on the golden era of women's big band, and Patrice Rushen was in that. And so I get really inspired by, you know, just people who are being really authentic and true to themselves, as she presented herself, as she seems, you know, as she was in this documentary that I just watched. So, gosh, there's a lot of, you know, I don't know, man, all my idols and mentors are really sort of, they're just way too big. I don't think I would ever perform with anybody like that. I'm definitely a huge fan of certain artists, younger artists like Gary Clark Jr. and, oh, there's so many. I'm really not a good name person, but I'd be more than happy to just go. I really love Cage the Elephant. They put on an amazing show. I really like show people. I like musicians who really like put on a show, because I know that that's like not really easy, because it's hard enough doing just the music sometimes, and then like adding that performance layer is sort of like a whole other part of the brain has to kick in and help out. And I get really inspired when I see that done really, really well.
Okay, cool. Tell us about this song we're going to hear in a few minutes here.
This is Public Eye. This is a song. I don't know how this came to me. The chord progression came first, which I just loved. It's a lot of some C7. There's some seven chords and seven major seven chords in there, and just. I'd realized that a lot of my songs were either about relationships or sort of social or personal stories at that point, because I think when I did commit to writing music, I really sort of, I would have to say, obviously, as a songwriter, you know, some of my biggest heroes are people like Joni Mitchell and Paul Simon and Tom Waits. And so I really idolize sort of the singer-songwriters that write personally. They write about themselves, because to me, that extra added element of truth combined with music and performance is just so valuable. So Public Eye came to me in that I'd never really sort of like written a song about a girl or about a female perspective solely. And so I just kind of picked up on what, you know, just what what female, especially young female performers, have to go through in our culture and what they're subjected to, you know? And I think it just really sparked my empathy and compassion, and I really just tried to put myself in those shoes and just imagine what it would be like. And, you know, these women wind up suffering for their talent, suffering for their commitment to their work and being good at what they do. And I really just needed to kind of explore that. So that's pretty much what Public Eye is about.
Yeah, that's, I completely agree with you and empathize with you. And great song, man. Let's take a listen, everybody.
She's a question mark. You make up any answer. Type it up, put her picture on the screen. If the truth be told, the truth is sold as mystery. Once it's fluffed and full, hyped beyond extreme. In the public eye, you don't wear an umbrella. It's a world of unimagined scrutiny. And it's true, her defense rests in equal measure of a worthless, vindictive mockery. If you ask her what it's like, you'll leave her crying. Empty promise of a life that's like a dream. Still she won't know what to say, so please stop trying. It only makes her lose her way. She's just 19. 19. 19. She's just 19. She's no right to shame, regret, or indignation. The attention, what she begs for, craves the fame. Solid platinum on her wall since she was 16. So ungrateful for it all, her pain's a gain. Get a picture of her angriest expression. If her waistline catches sunlight on the sand, they pay millions for a personal indiscretion captured in these top-notch lenses of Japan. Of Japan. Of Japan. Lenses of Japan. In the public eye, you don't wear an umbrella. It's a world of unimagined scrutiny. And it's true, her defense rests in equal measure of a worthless, vindictive mockery. So when you see her at that check stand growing older, when you comment on the ugly price of fame, that crazy, trashy bleach out, turning 30. Rest assured, she's got just herself to blame. Self to blame. Self to blame. Just herself to blame.
Cool song, man. So, Governor Tom, tell us a little bit about what kind of exciting things you got for the fans this year coming up.
Well, I'm just finishing up a fifth track to add to the four that I've released, and then I'm going to release that as an EP in the next month or two at the latest. And that's going to be my first EP, but I have already, I'm working on charts and setting up. It was funny. I really thought I was going to do an album, but I've got two more EPs lined up. One's going to be love songs. I'm really trying to, you know, as I'm sure you know, as you record, you know, everything's so digitized and computerized, which affords so much ease and convenience. But then at the same time, we've lost a lot of breathing. We've lost a lot of off the grid. I mean, when you look at how you make music on a computer nowadays, you're literally like on a grid. And so I've got one EP that I want to do songs that just go very off tempo as freely as they want to. And they're all mostly love songs. So it's going to be kind of like a love song CD or EP. And it's going to be curious. I don't know. Cause with the EP that's coming out first, it's all, I recorded my rhythm first and then built from there. So this is going to be kind of the reverse. So that'll be exploration. And then I'm going to do another EP of sort of more rock and roll style songs, the songs that I have that lend themselves more to like. And then I'm going to move back into steady tempo stuff. And performing wise, I'm still running around LA and singing out some of these new songs. And also, I just decided that I'm going to do like a busking tour. I don't really have it in me with all this work to try to, you know, to do these EPs. That's really where I want to focus. I don't have it in me to do all the communicating, all that stuff necessary to really sort of like plan and book a tour. So I think I'm going to do a busking tour, Sorantos, because busking is one of the most terrifying things that I can possibly imagine for myself. And since I'm a firm believer in facing your fears, I'm so comfortable. When I'm on a stage, I'm so comfortable in front of an audience when I'm on a stage, but when there's not that like imaginary fourth wall, when it's just the idea of me just being like, just completely amid, you know, the listeners, that there's something about that terrifies me. And so I have to face that. So I think I'm going to just plan a few, you know, do a little homework and run around California, probably in the fall, and just show up places and busk. Because I won't have to do any of all that negotiating and all that terrible stuff when you know, not terrible, but just time consuming. Yeah. So that's what I've got coming up.
Okay, cool. Tell us your favorite 80s jam. What comes to mind?
It's gotta be a Michael Hutchinson NXS song. Any of his music. He's outstanding musician. I also love that song by, I'm really so bad at names, Sorantos. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Gosh, of course, you know, Prince really ruled the 80s, but, you know, I'm failing so bad on this answer, which is fine, you know, but 80s music is good. There's a lot of excellent, excellent 80s music, so I'm really hard-pressed to answer your question.
Okay, no problem, man. How about your ideal superpower? What would you say that is?
That I actually possess or that I would want to possess?
How about both?
I think the superpower I possess is that I'm able to reach my best within a group and also inspire the group that I'm with to reach for their best. And that's why I think that my music is succeeding in a way that I'm a little bit surprised about. Although I did go out of my way to hire like just outstanding musicians when I recorded. And then I think the superpower that I would really, really like to have is somebody who's just, honestly just comfortable in a crowd. I've never really felt comfortable in a crowd. I've always been on the taller side. And it's funny because when you're a taller individual, it's like you're kind of always on display. You never really have a choice about it. So I tend to, you know, just to keep my life in balance, I tend not to sort of always want to be out unless it's something that's really sort of my choice. So I would love to just feel like really confident and comfortable socially more than I'm able.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll tell you what. Tell us a little bit about the strangest and weirdest compliment you've ever gotten for your songwriting.
That's a good question. Unfortunately, the answer is being preempted by, the compliment I get the most, most consistent is just that people feel like my songs are poetry. They just really feel like they're you know, truly worthwhile poems put to music. And to me, that's the most satisfying, because I'm, you know, as I said, it's like, I really, it's like being a creative artist is really my focus. And, you know, really to just face that blank page and create something from scratch. And so to have the writing, which is sort of, you know, the nucleus and the blueprint of all else that follows, that, you know, that's the core of the creativity. And to have that recognized is the best. I can't think of anything. Like, okay, here you go. Here's your story. So I have this song. It's actually, did I release that song? No, I haven't. I wrote this song called Global Citizen. And, you know, it was in the line with, you know, let's do songs that are, you know, pro issue and pro environment and all of that. It's not a bad song, but I was out testing it out at an open mic in a very conservative community. And a couple of young kids, very, you know, obviously not of their own minds, but of their, you know, their families' minds, just literally started yelling during my sign, like, hippie, SH, blank T, and, you know, liberal, blah, blah, blah. And literally shouting down my song while I'm performing it, because it was like pro-environment and pro-change. And it was that, so that answers your question. That was the most outrageous, I won't necessarily call it a compliment, but it was definitely the strangest reaction to my writing that I've received so far.
Okay. Awesome, man. All right. I'll tell you what, tell us a little bit about your website before I let you go. Where can people buy your stuff, stream it so they can reach out to you?
All right. Well, governortommusic.com is my website, and it's, you know, you can purchase my tracks there. That's probably honestly the easiest place. I've got PayPal and Stripe. That's all I've really got set up for payment. So hopefully people could be confident in that. And I just find even myself nowadays, man, I try to like, I hear a song and I'm like, I'm going to support this artist. I'm going to buy this music. And it takes like a day and a half to find like where you can, I mean, none of the like Amazon, it used to be the last, you know, the last place you could actually download something, and even that they've made so difficult because they want to, you know, they just want to stream and take all the money. So if anybody really wants to support my music, my website is the best. It's hosted through a company called Bandzoogle, so they don't take, you know, a big cut of it. Bandcamp, my music's also on there. They do take a percentage, but that's fine too. I don't mind sharing. But that's where my music is if anybody wants to buy or listen and stay updated. And I try to stay, I have a real problem with social media because my name is Governor Tom. All of my stuff, anything I try to do, just is constantly getting shut down by their algorithms because it gets flagged as something political, even though it's nothing political. And it's been going on for well over a year at this point, and I'm actually so frustrated. But it's also where I feel like I have the best connection with anybody, you know, with any fans of my music. So, and that's because I can't use Governor. It's the Facebook is either GT Music, or I think the it's / the music of Tom Wood. Tom Wood being my real name, and Governor Tom being my artist name.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight, Governor Tom.
Sorontos, thank you so much.
You're welcome, man. To all the listeners out there, thank you so much for spending a little bit of your precious time with the two of us. We know it's important. And we hope your unique story gets heard around the world, too. My name is Sorontos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at the Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. Have a great night. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.